You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles if you've got one, and let's turn over to the book of Exodus tonight. Any good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. And I know it's redundant to some, but I was glad when they said unto me. I get excited about church. I'm glad I hadn't gotten over it. I've been saved a long time, and just songs about Jesus and the atmosphere of worship still excites me. And you pray much for me. This internet stuff's killing evangelists. And my daughters and my wife, they're hard on me. And I've got, you know, I probably got 9 messages and about 140 titles. Somebody say amen. And I just tie a title to it. And they always say, now, Daddy, you can't go over there and preach the same thing. And, you know, that's hard on a man. Try to pastor the United States of America. You can't preach the same thing. You got to have new jokes. It's all about the jokes. And old B.R. Lakin had preached, been in a series of meetings, and a fellow came to him after the service and said, Dr. Lakin said, I've heard you preach for the last 5 times, and you preach the identically same message. And old Lakin was a smart aleck. And he said, yes, and I've heard you preach 5 times, can't remember a thing you said during the whole message. And most people remember the illustrations, not the sermon anyway, but I want to try to help you. And things are not always the way they appear to be. I was shaking hands while I go, and they said, I'm praying for you. I said, well, I need it. I'm nervous, man. I'm scared. And they said, well, you know, don't worry about it. I said, I'm praying for you. You don't look nervous, but you can't tell by looking at somebody. Preacher was preaching, and he got excited. He said, I want to talk to you men. Said, all the men in this congregation who wife runs you, your wife runs you and controls you, just be honest. Said, I want you to move to your right. And the whole building began to shift. And there was one couple sitting on this other side. And the preacher said, thank God. Said, there's one left. Said, sir, said, why didn't you move? He said, my wife told me not to. Said, yeah, that's a good one. And this old fellow was up in the woods. You can't tell by what goes on. You can always tell what's going on. And one fellow was up in the mountains of East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, and they were cleaning up a hillside, and they had an old abandoned well there, and they were just chunking stuff over in that well. And there's chunking logs in there and chucking rocks in there. And all of a sudden, he's just messing around there sweating, but all of a sudden a dog, blue tick dog, just come running and just dove down in that well. And the man looked around and said, I ain't believing it. I ain't never seen anything like that in my life. And all of a sudden he heard in the barrel, here, blue. And he said, over here. And he said, man, have you seen a blue dog, a blue tick dog? He said, I sure have. He said, you ain't going to believe it. I stand right here and that dog just jumped head first down in that well. He said, well, I had him tied to a log over there a while ago. And said, amen. That didn't go over too good, did it though? Well, and then, man, I was so excited. Ryan and Tim were here. And I thought, man, they just came to hear me preach, praise God. And then found out it was a family affair. But boy, I'm so glad. I want to help y'all. Take your Bibles, Exodus chapter number 8, and we'll look into God's word. We're living in perilous times, and we're living in times of really confusion. I really believe that's one of the great indications of the soon coming of Christ. The Bible said, they asked the Lord, said, what shall be the signs of you coming? And before he started with specifics, he just said, well, let no man deceive you. One of the master techniques of the devil is deception. And we read in these words, they're exiting the Egyptian bondage. Y'all know the story, been there hundreds of years. And in chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, said, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Now this is a dictations of God Almighty, and he wanted them to go. Now mind you, That was not in the Pharaoh's mind whatsoever. He had no desire. He had really no inkling to weaken his position on their bondage. In fact, he was doing everything to make it harder on them. But God had decreed, go 3 days, worship, and do it my way. And as has been consistent, understand me, I'm preaching to the church, but it's been consistent from before that in the patriarch days of our forefathers. The devil's always tried to limit us. You can do it a little bit, you know, but do it our way. And y'all know the story. You go on, and the Bible said in verse number 25, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, now go ye and sacrifice to your God. But notice this stipulation, do it here in this land, in the land. Don't take no 3 days journey. Don't distance yourself from Egypt. But you understand, you can't truly worship God in Egypt. Bible said, come out from among them, be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive. You'll be a father unto me, and you'll be a sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. There's got to be some distance from the world. And what Pharaoh wanted them to do is what the world's trying to convince us to. Just do it here, do it in the world. And I understand strategically God's placed us in the world. We're salt and light. We're not here by accident. When Jesus Christ prays for the church, he prays it not. He said, I pray not that you remove them from the world, but that you would deliver them from evil. We've got a purpose to be here. Amen. But we're not to be of the world. Strategically located in the world, but not of the world. And so they're there in Egypt's bondage, and he said, now I don't mind if y'all worship your God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, but whatever you do, don't leave the world to do it. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Don't leave the world, just bring the world in here and do it the worldly way, worldly methods, worldly music. Amen. False manuscripts. By the way, did I indicate that I'm a King James only man? I wanted to clarify my position before I go any further in this message. Just do it our way. And so the world said, Pharaoh said, it's all right to worship as long as you do it here. Acclimate yourself to this contemporary mindset. Don't draw any lines, don't make any distinguishing marks, just do it here. And then y'all know how it goes on. Turn to chapter number 10, and the Bible tells us in verse 11, said, now y'all can go, you men. Verse number 11 said, chapter 10, but not so, go ye now that are men and serve the Lord. For what ye did desire, and they were driven from Pharaoh's presence, said, I know you want to go worship the Lord, but you're going to do it either here or you're going to do it as I dictate, and you're just going to use men. Leave your family out of it. That seems a trend of today. You know, come as you are, leave as you were. Family, no Sunday school hour. Somebody help me. A little sermonette for a Christianette dressed like a majorette. And our families are not even involved. We're having parents now who ask the children, what church do you want to go to? God forbid, sir. You know, well, Daddy, I just don't want to go. Well, go anyway. I was raised on drugs. I was drugged Sunday morning, drugged Sunday night, and drugged Wednesday night. It's never hurt me to go to church. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, not depart from it. They're not going to learn anything at home. Said, you could go worship or leave your children at home. Leave your wives at home, but you men can go. And then it went on beyond that. You notice in verse number 24, Pharaoh called Moses and said, now y'all can go. That's in the original Masoretic text. That's in an ancient Hebrew. Said, go ye and serve the big L Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Here's what they want us to do. They want us to have worship without sacrifice. You can't worship God without sacrifice. It's going to cost you something to worship God. It's going to cost you friends. It's going to cost you some allies. Sometimes I'm talking about you get your feelings hurt. No sacrifice. You can't have much worship without sacrifice. All these stipulations would come, but I'm interested tonight in verse number 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go. I know that's what God said do. And I'm mindful of that. And I'm going to let y'all go, but that you may sacrifice to the big L Lord your God in the wilderness only, here's the stipulation, you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help me this afternoon, this evening. And I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me. And I'm scared of that. I fear, Lord. And so I yield myself to you the best way I know how. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet is my desire to please you. And Lord, I pray you'd give me backbone and courage to say everything that I ought to say. We're living in a day of compromise. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to say everything I ought to say. And then I pray you'd give me discernment beyond my years, not to say anything that wouldn't honor Christ, to exhort saints, and to encourage the men of God in this room, and those that are listening by way of internet access, that help us to go on for God in these last days. And Lord, I'm asking these things because you're the only one that can help. And I'm dependent upon you. And Lord, I trust you to honor your word. This is a true account of the nation of Israel in bondage, how they exited out to worship you and started that great exodus across the Red Sea over into the promised land. Enlighten your word, illuminate it with the blessed Holy Ghost. Help me to preach, and may long live old time religion till you come again. Amen and amen. Amen. Pharaoh says in verse 28, he's already put stipulation after stipulation. And then he says, now I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to concede my position, and I'll let y'all go. One thing, I don't want you to go very far away. It wasn't long ago we had a friend day at our church. It's one of the biggest days of our year. I say, yeah, long ago, this may be 15 years ago. The older I get, not long ago can be very, very broad. There's one of those big days, and we had invited everybody, and we was pushing everybody to get them to church. And old Johnny Falk, he's a countryman. He's been here with me before. And he probably, some of y'all remember Johnny. I mean, he's so country, he spelled with a K. Y'all understand? And Johnny's whole family's that way. He has a brother named Danny. And I got to tell this to make my point. But and old Danny, I'm telling you, a friend, you talk about outlaw. Am I right? I'm talking about, Stanley knows him. And I mean, he's an outlaw, man. In fact, they arrested Danny several years ago for stealing Bear Powell, my neighbor's goats. He stole 9 goats. And the judge, I mean, you know, he went up there and the judge said, now Danny, and they made him swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And so he got up there and he said, now Danny, said, how come did you steal 9 goats from Bear Powell? And Danny said, well, your honor, my daddy's a deacon at Short Creek Baptist Church. And I put my hand on that Bible to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Said, I can't lie. Said, I stole 9 goats because I couldn't fit 10 in the cab on pickup truck. He said, praise God. He would have stole more. Now, he's an honest man, but he's a country man. And he came to Friend Day. And the whole time I preached, man, his eyes were as big as saucers. After the service, I went to Brother Johnny about the next day. Johnny was riding me to a meeting. I said, how did Danny and his wife like the service? And this was his response. He said, Brother Danny liked the music. He loved the choir. And said he really liked that fella that sang at that Brandon Carr. He sang one of them Henson songs. He liked that. I said, well, what about the preaching? Oh, Johnny said, Danny said, Brother Tony's done took it too far. Brother Sammy Allen said, if you've never been accused of taking it too far, you probably hadn't taken it far enough. And here's the admonition, y'all can go, but don't take it too far. Let me say, if you're visiting for the first time, you're in a church that's identified as taking it too far. I mean, we don't want to go any further than the Bible, but the problem is in this modern day of compromise, hey, we're not taking it far enough. I got to thinking about us being together on a Sunday night. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the approaching. Now, the last time I checked, more means more. We've got these younger preachers who've taken Greek and they know the ancient languages, And they're having a hard time defining what more means. Is everybody okay? Your pastor's been accused of taking it too far with his dedication to the sanctuary. Now, Dr. Treba's all right and all, and North Valley's okay, and that Bible college and those professors, they mean well. But the problem is they're just exceeding the boundary. They're taking it too far. Well, in these last days, as you see the day approaching, I say attendance in the house of God ought to be a priority in your life. Matthew chapter 6 is still in there, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't understand the mentality of less church. I can't fit that into my mind, how that's going to go. How they going to get help? It said preach the word. Not a word. I'm saying the preaching of God's, I appreciate the premium that God's holy word puts on preaching. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come. And that's where he's talking about. That is a prophecy of this era. The time has come when not an endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, that's a desire for the forbidden, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just scratch my back. Comfort me. Tell me something I want to hear. 10 steps to a better self-image. Somebody help me. But that right back in preaching, they don't want much of that. Preaching is teaching on fire. Listen to me. Preaching is teaching on fire. All preaching has teaching in it, but not all teaching has preaching in it. And in God's chosen medium, look at me now, when God looked through time and saw how he was going to reach the world, and the Bible said, when the world in its wisdom, y'all are King James, aren't you? When the world in its wisdom knew not God, hey, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them would believe. We need more preaching. I mean, man, I'm for preaching. We preach, praise God, at a baby dedication. Is everybody okay? I believe that our attendance in the house of God ought to be a priority in our life. The nucleus of every Christian home ought to be a local church. This ought to be the focal point of every activity that's going on in your life. Make the church a priority. I'm saying, they say to you, well, you're taking it too far. They say, why don't y'all get a life? All y'all do is go to church. Find me something better to do. Find me something that fulfills the soul of a Christian. There's a pleasure within serving God. He puts his approval on your life. And I'm saying our attendance, we've taken it too far. We say the activity of church taken too far. They say you're just pushing too far. You're going beyond what's required. You know, you're going too far. This idea, you ought to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night of the revival. If you're a leader, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, run a bus route, you ought to be on soul winning visitation. You ought to tithe of your income. I mean, you ought to give above your tithe. This thing's getting lengthy. Somebody help me. I say, and so much the more. So much the more. The priority of the local church. I'm talking about the activities of the local church. It ought to consume your life. There's a calendar put out every year at most churches, and it tells you when we're having certain events. It's amazing to me how many church members will take their vacation when you're having vacation Bible school. Well, preacher, we won't be there at the conference and all. We're going on vacation. What a tragedy. You're telling your children church is not important. In our country, you're telling them Gatlinburg's more important. You're telling them some ball game is more important. Listen, nothing ought to trump church. Nothing ought to take the place of the local New Testament church. I'm a church man. So much the more. And he says to, I hear it all the time, and now, Brother Tony, I know you mean well, but you just take that thing too far. No, I don't think we've taken it far enough, friend. I'm talking about our dedication to the sanctuary. Jot this down. I don't think we've taken far enough yet our defense of the scripture. I'm talking about, I believe it. I believe the Bible is inspired of God from cover to cover. All scripture, not some of it, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That tells me what is right. For reproof, that tells me what's not right. For correction, that tells me how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, that tells me how to keep it right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 119, 140 said, thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servants loveth it. If it's pure, why does everybody got a monkey with it? And tweak it, mess with it. It's very pure. It's God's holy writ. It's God's word. It's bread. It's meat. It's milk. I'm very particular about what I eat. You can tell that. When I drink milk, look up in here. I don't drink that purple top milk. If y'all like that, sir, hey, RFK Jr.'s already said we need red top. Somebody help me. And I've been preaching that decades ago. If, sir, if you're drinking purple top milk or pink top, your wife runs your home. I like whole milk. I like to be, shake it. I mean, thick milk. When you pour it, I mean, the cream just covers the cereal real good. I like to chew my milk. Somebody say amen. Glory to God, I like it real. But when I drink coffee, I don't drink that decaf.
No.
You're an effeminate man drinking decaf, sir. What color are your high heels? Somebody help me. I drink that black coffee. I like it so strong when you pour it out on the ground, it does push-ups, break it up. Like that real coffee. Amen. When I drink Coca-Cola, I don't drink that. Who ever heard of caffeine-free? Zero Coke. What are you paying for? Dirty dishwater? Somebody help me. When I drink a Coke, I don't drink canned Cokes. Oh, you just don't know. It's the same chemical makeup. You open a canned Coke and it says, tsh. When you open a bottled Coke, one of them 8 ounces or one of them 12 ounce Mexicans, somebody say amen. You pop the cap off a 12-ounce bag, and a mushroom cloud hovers over the top of that thing. And when you drink it, your eyes water. Amen. When you burp, your nose burns. Somebody say amen. You know why? Because it's the real thing, friend. Because it's stout. The Bible said the word of God is quick. It's quick. It's alive. And it's sharp. And it's powerful as a two-edged sword. Don't give me some watered down something. So much the more. When you leave, he said, y'all can go, but don't y'all take that thing so far that you believe in preservation, that you believe in a supernatural hand of God who kept that Bible. Lord, you're holding a King James now. Y'all can write me off. I've been written off by a lot of people. You know, I just add you to the list. Is everybody okay? But I believe that word of God is inspired by God and it's perfect. You're not going to have to correct the King James Bible. It'll correct you. Amen. Glory to God. And it's declaration. We ought to go beyond. Now, y'all all right, but just don't go too far with that thing. Yeah, I believe when we have opportunity, we ought to preach. Paul said, for as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Man, thank God for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Man, I love the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel that Jesus died according to the scriptures, and how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what happened, friend. He died, he's buried, he rose again. That's our message. And you won't go find that in the Koran. And you're not going to find it in NIV or the ESV. Because it says obey. John 3:36, he believeth on the Son hath life. He believeth not the Son of God shall not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If you read that version in NIV, it says that obeyeth not. I didn't get saved by obeying. Amen. I'm going to preach on into me. Y'all pray for me. I feel a little kink right here. I'm just going to keep on plowing, praise God. I'm saying, friend, we ought to do more, not less. This don't take it too far, Brother Tony. That's wrong. That's what's wrong with the ultra-conservative, right-wing, militant, fundamental, King James only, short haircuts on men, dresses on women, modesty. Amen. song books. Y'all just take it too far. You pushed it too far. No, we ain't took it far enough. I believe we need to go on. Hebrews chapter 6 said, having the, Hebrews chapter 6, it said, having therefore, it said, go on unto perfection. Yeah, and don't lay again those doctrines. We already know some, but we got to go on unto perfection. Now, stay with me. I believe that our diligence in soul winning, we hadn't gone far enough. Now, I understand. I just saw one of the, I don't have much social media. I won't make, only thing you'll see about me is a coon dog or a pair of mules. That's about it. But I saw a preacher, I would call him a friend, but I have a hard time being a friend with somebody who's anti-soul winning. And he said, well, I'm not against soul winning, but he said, I just don't believe in that 1, 2, 3 repeat after me and that Romans bypass to heaven. And wait a minute, sir. How long does it take to believe? Birth is instantaneous. What you're trying to do is complicate the gospel. A crowd that's preaching that hyper conviction, and I believe in Holy Ghost conviction. But I spent 7 years under conviction. I could have got saved, I believe, at any time during that 7 years. But my pride wouldn't let me. I didn't want to go on that altar and people gather around me. I was Curtis's boy. I was already supposed to be saved. I'd never made a profession of faith in my life. I'd never been to an altar, but everybody just assumed I was saved. I loomed under Holy Ghost. It's miserable. You don't have to be like that. If you're lost tonight, you can get saved tonight. There's no indication gauge on your collar whether you got enough conviction. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This Calvinism has so permeated our movement with their hyper intellectual views of salvation. One of them told me the other day, you know, said, well, I just believe in the doctrines of grace. I said, I do too. And I said, but I hate it for y'all, Calvinist. He said, what are you talking about? Hate it for us. I said, well, I hate it. I said, you know, God didn't die for y'all. He said, what are you talking about? I said, he didn't die for you because he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And according to your doctrine, you ain't ever been lost. You've been saved from the foundations of the world. They love that total depravity. What they really mean is total inability. When Adam died, when he tasted that fruit, that forbidden fruit, he died. That's their picture of spiritual death. But it's funny, when God came into the garden, he wasn't so dead that he couldn't hear God. Oh, he can't do anything about it. There's human responsibility in salvation. You have to respond. God came and said, Adam! He didn't say, I can't hear you, I'm dead. Amen. Limited atonement, my hind leg. That's his false doctrine, ordaining a woman preacher. We're such an hour. Some of you are really, man, you're impressed by those people. You really get tight mouth around them. I'm gonna tell you, whosoever will, how they got in. Have you ever noticed? I've never met a Calvinist whose family was going to hell. Every one of them, they got in same way we got in on whosoever. But the pitiful family living down there in a trailer court, they just didn't answer the effectual call. Somebody help me. They missed out. All they got was a general call. They didn't get. Let me tell you something. That's false teaching, friend. That's poison. It's all over the internet. It's all in our churches. These young preachers are getting sucked into that. I'm going to tell you who we need a witness to. Every creature needs a preacher. Going to all the world, preaching gospel to every creature. Every creature. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Telling everybody about the greatest day that ever happened. And some of y'all, the reason why you've lost your burden for souls, you forgot how messed up you were. I'm looking at a crowd that's familiar with church. You're here on Sunday night. But how long has it been since you just wept over the joy of salvation? Have you forgotten you were on a slick road to hell? The Bible said in John 3 you was condemned already because you're not believing on the name of the begotten Son of God. But praise God, the Holy Ghost came by. He showed me I was lost. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I'm glad one day the Holy Ghost came by, an old-fashioned preacher. Opened the Bible and preached what thus saith the Lord. And I trusted him as my Savior. I don't want to get over being saved. Oh, Brother Tony, y'all taking that thing too far. I don't think we are. I think we need to just keep going into all the world until everybody in California is saved. Until everybody on the West Coast is saved. Till people over in the Midwest are saved. The Southeast, well, most of us are. Somebody say amen. But when the people on the up in the New England states, in Canada and Mexico, our job's not over. We become too lax in this thing of evangelism. Well, you know, it's the last days and there's going to be a great falling away. And you know, part of it, we just got to be honest. We're victims of prophecy, yeah, but that don't mean you got to be victimized by prophecy. Blindness in part is taking Israel, and we maybe once in a while a Jew may get saved if you're a witness to them. There are some that will. There's a neighbor somewhere that gets saved, you just witness to them. We need to try harder. We need to try harder than we're doing. We're just making some kind of half shot attempt at winning our neighbors. When's the last time you went across the street and invited somebody to church? Y'all try to win somebody to God. One of my mentors, great preacher, Billy Mitchell, y'all look him up. Oh, Billy Mitchell, one of my heroes, he's preaching in Kentucky. And man, he had preached Monday night. He was staying in the prophet's room, and the pastor was bivocational. He was there by himself all day long in that prophet's chamber. And his neighbor across the road had a beautiful garden. And old Billy Mitchell went over there to that garden, and the man was working in his garden. He said, "Man, I love your garden." He said, "It's beautiful." He said, "Your yards are so nice." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I'm preaching revival. Why don't you come over here and hear me preach?" And that man's response was, "I don't need to go over there. I'm better than people anyway." Said, "I know some of them deacons. They're sorry." And said, I live just as good as they do. And said, "In fact, when the snow's on the parking lot, I go push the snow off for them." And said, "If they get behind on the grass cutting, I cut the grass for them. Don't ever charge them." He said, I don't need to go to church. Oh, Billy Mitchell, he's trying to win him to God. He's trying to find a way. Those old men, they sought means that carried that man, busted that roof down, dropped him through. They was finding a way. Amen. Oh, Billy Mitchell said, "This man's hard." Tuesday, he said, "I want you to come to the meeting, man." He said, I don't need to go. He said, "I'm good as anybody over there. I know those people." He preached all week, invited him every day to the meeting. Finally, Friday night, he preached his last message. Man never showed up. And while he's packing his bags to leave, he noticed a man smoking a cigarette on the front porch, and he walked over. He said, "Brother," he said, "good to meet you." And said, "I wished you to come to the meeting, but I know you couldn't come. You didn't come." And he said, "But I just want to leave you with one thing before I go." He said, "The God of heaven has got you charged with the murder of his only begotten son." He said, "Rest well." That dude took the last straw on that cigarette and said, "What?" He said, "I'll see you." Don't you know he was looming? Oh, Billy Mitchell said, Sunday morning, he went to another church. He said, "Sunday afternoon, between evening service, 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 Sunday afternoon, between evening service." He said his phone rang, and he picked up that preacher and said, "You ain't going to believe this." Said, "You know that neighbor that you tried to invite to church?" Said, "Sunday morning, he was sitting on the second row." Said, "His eyes was big as saucers." Said, "He looked like he hadn't slept in two or three nights." He probably hadn't. Said, "Before we could even start the invitation, he was down in the altar getting saved," just like that. You need to find ways to do it. My daddy was teaching a soul-winning clinic at our church back in the mid-70s. And Dr. Hathcock was one of the doctors there in the church, remember? And Daddy was telling him, "Now, there's ways you approach people." He said, "One of the best things to ask somebody if they're lost or if you're sure or not sure, to ask them if they died today, do they for sure they go to heaven?" That's the best question you can ask. I've done it 1,000 times, many of you have. If you die today, and by their response, you can tell them. And boy, he was teaching that class, "If you die today, do they for sure go to heaven?" Well, that was on Wednesday night. On Sunday, Dr. Hathcock came to Daddy. He was standing by at the platform and said, "I need to talk to you." And he said, "You know, that lecture you gave us?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I tried it at the office." He said, "First man come in," said he come in for a checkup, and said, "I went and looked at the notes right before when I went back in there." He said, "Bob," said, "I want to ask you a question." He's sitting on the edge of the table, buttoning up his shirt. He said, "If you died today, do you know for sure?" He said, "Bob," said, "Oh, Doc, God, no. Tell me it ain't that bad." He said, "Calm down, man. If you don't calm down, you may have cardiac arrest." He said, "It's my heart. It's my heart. Oh, God, it's my heart." And you know what he's trying to find a way to get it done. Daddy said, well, Dr. Hathcock, did it work? He said, yeah, we had five saved yesterday. Five of them. I'm going to tell you something, we're not trying too hard. We said, we've done enough. No, you ain't done enough. When's the last time you wept? When's the last time you wept over your lost loved ones? Before you start protesting the cannabis dispensary, before you start protesting an abortion clinic, and I'm for protesting everything like that. But when's the last time you wept over your grandchildren? Lost and undone. Well, at least they go to church. If it don't say church on the sign, I doubt it is one. Amen. When's the last time you shed a tear? They that sow in tears, Psalms 126:5-6. He that sows in tears shall reap in joy. He that go forth and weepeth and bearing the precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Bring the sheaves with them. We hadn't gone far enough. Well, I gave them a tract, but when's the last time you wept? Weeping makes a difference. Brother Jim Darnell, he's dead now. He's a landowner and big farmer in Rutherford County, Tennessee. It's limestone grounds, rough and rocky. But Rutherford County, Middle Tennessee, produces more cotton than any other state, any other county in the state. I mean, it's a miracle the way God designed it. He was on the dock at the co-op. I was in my teen years. I was working at the feed store. And he came up there and I said, Mr. Darnell, I said, how was the crops this year? And he said, well, Brother Tony, said, we had a good crops this year, and said, really bumper. And said, we busy at the gin, said, Lord blessed. I said, well, I heard it didn't rain much. And he made this statement. He said, well, he said, cotton is a dry weather crop. It doesn't need a lot of moisture. And then he went inside and ordered his bill. When he came back, I was loading his truck. And he said, Brother Tony, I don't want to confuse you. He said, it's a dry weather crop, but he said, every time if you're going to get a harvest, you're going to have some rain. I'm going to tell you what we're missing. We're missing the moisture. Right. Yeah. We got the mechanics down. Right. We've taken all the classes. Right. We got the literature. We've got all the internet tools. But when's the last time you just wept? Amen. You got some burden about your lost loved ones. I'm going to tell you something. We hadn't taken it far enough. I want you to stand together. I got about four more points, but I believe that's where we ought to stop. Amen. Let's stand together all over the house. If you've never been accused of taking it too far, you probably hadn't took it far enough. We're to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Our activity in the sanctuary, we ought to glorify God with our lives. Pharaoh said to y'all, go on. You can worship. Leave your family. Leave your sacrifice, do it here, and whatever you do, don't y'all take it too far. The world's trying to tie us tonight. Modern religion is trying to put a rope on us and tether us to the post. We need to jerk the rope tonight and say, by the grace of God, we're going all the way. We're going all the way. I'm not going to let my pride hinder me. I'm not going to let intimidation from others hinder me. But I want to go all the way. Our Heavenly Father, take the message. Our churches need to go further. Jesus went a little further. He made it further. And Lord, I pray tonight that we'd make up our minds to go the 3-day journey in the will of God, exceed the boundaries of our own flesh. Our flesh lusts against the spirit. Our flesh will tell us you probably shouldn't say it here. You probably shouldn't do it now. You probably shouldn't pass out that tract. You probably shouldn't speak loud for God here. How many times have I battled the flesh when it comes to soul winning and evangelism? How many times? How many times has the world intimidated me? How many times has Satan, that roaring lion, come and he's tried to devour our testimonies? And I pray tonight you'd take this message. There's preachers that are already here, delegates that have come. There are those listening by way of internet access all across the world. But Lord, it's important in these last days that we don't allow the pharaohs of our hour to hinder our sacrifice and worship. Help us to go all the way, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.